Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for having me here today. Do I sound okay? Everyone can hear me? Okay. So I'll continue talking about refugees from Burma today, specifically on an evaluation of art therapy. I want to first thank everyone who contributed to this evaluation in the paper, Rose Watson-Orman, Lacey English, Kristen Linton, Hillary Rubison, Ashley Marshall, Andrew Emelegba, Christine Agnew-Brune, and Jeannie Ang, some of whom are here today. I have no financial or personal disclosures to make. So this presentation will focus on an evaluation of the Art Therapy Institute's work with refugee children from Burma. While the evaluation did have some interesting findings, we feel that it didn't capture the full impact of both trauma and art therapy. There are limited evaluations on the effectiveness of art therapy with refugees. So after going through the background, the evaluation, and our results, I'll make some suggestions for future evaluations of art therapy and work with refugees. So I'll try not to repeat too much of the information that Dr. Chang already gave you, but there's been ongoing conflict in Burma since 1962, causing hundreds of thousands to flee to refugee camps in other countries, and they make up 23% of the refugee population in the U.S., many of whom resettle in North Carolina. This represents a great need for culturally appropriate health and social services. So studies indicate that up to 40% of refugee children and adolescents may have psychiatric disorders such as post-traumatic stress disorder, depression, anxiety, and difficulties in peer relationships. As Dr. Chang mentioned, often upon arrival to the U.S., these mental health needs are met with logistical, cultural, and language barriers. So art therapy uses the creative process to relieve stress and negative mental health symptoms by increasing emotional, psychological, and social well-being. Art therapists work with their clients to work through trauma and also foster strengths. They break through language and cultural barriers by relying on little spoken communication, and they encourage free expression. So the Art Therapy Institute, or ATI as I'll refer to it throughout the rest of the presentation, is based in the Triangle area of North Carolina. They are a nonprofit community-based organization that provides services to many populations, including refugees from Burma through the Burma Art Therapy Program. They work in schools and community groups, and the therapy is free to clients and is grant-funded or paid through third-party insurance. And because there is such limited evidence of the effectiveness of art therapy with refugees, ATI partnered with University of North Carolina Master of Public Health students to evaluate their school, their work in schools. So our evaluation was a single group pre-test post-test design. We decided against using a control group for ethical concerns. The population receiving art therapy is relatively small and has few other mental health resources. We had a sample size of 30 of middle and high school students. Baseline data was collected in October of 2013. Each participant received 12 to 16 weeks of art therapy, and we collected follow-up data in March of 2014. We used four validated clinical tools to assess trauma exposure and mental health outcomes such as anxiety and depression, and as well as behavior in school. So we measured trauma exposure using the Harvard Trauma Questionnaire at baseline only. We measured mental health outcomes such as anxiety and depression using the Hopkins Symptom Checklist. And we used we measured self-esteem using the Pierce-Harris Self-Concept Scale, both at baseline and follow-up. We administered the Strengths and Difficulties Questionnaire to teachers and social workers who work with the clients in schools to assess their behavior at baseline and follow-up. So our team had continued the work of a previous capstone team who worked with ATI to design the evaluation and chose these assessment tools. And they had chosen these tools for their validated use with Southeast Asian refugees, with adolescents, and for evaluating expressive arts therapy. So at baseline, participants reported a significant amount of trauma before arriving in the U.S. 100% of participants had experienced some form of trauma, including lack of food or water, death of a family member, and witnessing rape. Also, there were significant mental health problems, such as 40% symptomatic for depression compared to 11.7% of a representative sample of U.S. adolescents. We also found that there was a greater percentage of ATI's clients who have emotional and behavioral difficulties as compared to a representative sample of U.S. adolescents. As you can see here, 17% of participants had severe difficulties in school compared to 6 to 7% of U.S. adolescents. And both samples used the strengths and difficulties questionnaire to measure. At follow-up, we saw a small but statistically significant decrease in symptoms of anxiety. We also saw positive trends in overall self-concept, decrease in overall distress, but these findings were not statistically significant. We also saw an increase in symptoms of depression, though this was also not statistically significant. But ATI clinicians did report that it's common to see that participants or their clients' levels of depression temporarily rise as they become more comfortable in their therapy and start to work through their trauma. So this graph shows baseline and follow-up results of anxiety, depression, and overall distress. So we did see some positive trends, but most of the findings were not statistically significant. And this may be due to the small sample size of 30, the short treatment period, and even though the assessment tools were adapted to our population, we still think that there were some translation issues there. And we also think that the assessment tools we use may not be sufficient to capture all of the positive effects of art therapy. And the data fall short of demonstrating any personal growth that the clients experience as a result of both trauma and art therapy. So after conducting focus group discussions with ATI, we decided that the tools did track some important outcomes, but they didn't demonstrate the many ways in which art therapy affect clients' lives. The data are also not reflective of the incredibly positive feedback that ATI receives from clients, teachers, family members, and school administrators. So we feel that the evaluation would benefit from tools that allow clients to speak for themselves, incorporate art, and measure growth and resilience. Post-traumatic growth is positive psychological growth as a result of experiencing adverse life circumstances, such as warmer relationships, greater appreciation of life, and recognition of new possibilities. Through their art therapy sessions, ATI helps clients improve their self-worth, increase resilience, and help them bond with other people who have experienced trauma, and so therefore may promote post-traumatic growth. We think that the evaluation would benefit from a measurement of post-traumatic growth. So there have been several studies of post-traumatic growth in refugee populations, many of which use the quantitative post-traumatic growth inventory. There has also been a study with refugees from Burma living in Australia that uses an in-depth qualitative tool. And we think either of these would be appropriate for this evaluation. We also recommend using the Diagnostic Drawing Series, or DDS, which was developed by art therapists. It consists of three drawings, and structural elements of the drawings are analyzed to give preliminary diagnoses of mental health disorders. The drawings are followed by qualitative follow-up questions that allows participants to express what the drawings mean to them. ATI currently uses the DDS to inform clients' therapy needs, but they're going to move towards using it in more formal evaluation. So, in conclusion, we felt that the Harvard Trauma Questionnaire, the Hopkins Symptom Checklist, and the Strengths and Difficulties Questionnaire were good measures of trauma and reduction of symptoms. But we feel that in future evaluations, adding the DDS will incorporate ART and allow participants to speak for themselves and how ART therapy affects them. And also, a measurement of post-traumatic growth will help capture the full range of effects of trauma and the positive mechanisms of ART therapy. So ATI will use the findings from this evaluation and future evaluations to inform their work with refugees from Burma and referrals that they're now receiving for refugees from other countries as well. And as evaluators, I think that one thing that we learned is that when you're evaluating something, it's really important to look at the way in which an intervention works. So in this case, ART therapy, yes, is trying to decrease symptoms of depression and anxiety, but they're doing that by working with clients' strengths and taking a really positive approach and encouraging self-expression. So the assessment tools that we use, we need to balance the measurements of negative symptoms with measurements of positive effects and giving an opportunity for self-expression. And this is a drawing done by one of ATI's clients. He said that this tree and the house is the kind that he, from his home in Burma, and he wanted to share his culture with others, so I wanted to share the drawing with you.